This is Carmen and Yurko, live from the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Gorgeous day. We'll talk fast because we're out at 12:30. Double dip of baseball today. I believe there are three doubleheaders around the bigs. And they got to pack, you know, a few extra of these on because they started a little bit late and they're still playing 162. So, five-game series in Kansas City. White Sox win the opener last night. Two more coming up today. Connor McKnight standing by with your pregame show at 12:30. Len and DJ have first pitch just after 1 o'clock. Good kids back.
Double dip.
How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic.
Let's play two, Yurko.
Yeah. It's the old double dip.
The old double dip.
And the White Sox find themselves at 500 again. They're hovering. This is a chance to make headway.
Can you stretch your legs a little, Yurk, in Kansas City?
When you're playing crappy teams, this is when... Because let's face it, until June, I think it's June, maybe you don't play Minnesota for a long time. It could even be early July.
They don't play them for a while.
You don't play Minnesota for a while. I think you get them in July and right before the All-Star break.
They put them a bunch in the second half.
Right. Yeah. So if you can't go head-to-head with them, you got to start beating up on some of the peons. And Kansas City is a peon. So beat up on them. That's what you've got to do. Five straight. That's what I'm looking for out of the White Sox.
God, would that be nice? Tough to go in and sweep five straight.
But you've got to believe that yourself, don't you? Don't you got a feeling that
this
is what the White Sox
have to do? They go 4-1, I'll be happy.
4-1, you could be happy. Io prosciutto sandwiches. It looks like Thursday's the earliest we can do this thing because tomorrow's the spring trading. It's going to be a mishmash of everybody everywhere. So Thursday, we got another half-hour ride on Thursday, so we'll go ahead and we'll get sandwiches for the meeting on that.
Yeah, I look forward to that. A little J.P. Graziano action on
Whichever
Thursday?
You like. All whichever right. You like. Barry or Graziano.
I'm cool.
Make your phone calls, Carm.
Sounds good to me.
I'll give you my credit card.
White Sox win last night 5-3 at a 3-0 lead. Gave it up late. Yasmani Grandal can't catch the ball. At least he had a home run, though. They need him to break out offensively, I'll tell you that. And then Luis Robert put them ahead with a two-run shot. He's so strong. In extra innings, and the White Sox win last night and bounce back. Everything's still, you know, kind of like close and tight and tooth and nail. Eventually, I think they'll get going and hit their stride. I really do. I think offensively, at some point, they're going to be better. There's too much talent, and guys are hitting the ball hard. Jose Abreu just, you know, can't buy one for whatever reason. But at least he was on base last night. He had a couple walks. Hit the ball hard again. Like I was telling this to Jesse yesterday. His hard hit percentage is higher this year than it was last year, but his BABIP's ridiculously low. So it probably tells you he'll run into some good luck eventually, right? He's just maybe run into some bad luck. He's got one of the highest hard hit rates in all of baseball here in the early going in the first month plus.
He's been
of
unlucky.
The season. Yeah, he got a little bit unlucky.
They've been well positioned on him.
Yeah. Some of that, maybe?
It can happen. Either one of those combos.
Speaking of hard hit, I did not realize this. This surprised me. I saw the graphic this morning courtesy of our friend Mark DeRosa. I don't know why I say he's our friend. He's really not our friend. If you walked up to Mark DeRosa and said, "Hey, Carmen Yurko," say, I'd say, "Who?" "Oh, I heard Carmen say your friend." He'd be like, "I don't know those guys." So I don't know why I say our friend, but we like him. We're trying to get him on, but he's big time now. Mark DeRosa had the graphic up this morning, and I was surprised by it. Best hard hit.
So he's not even close to a friend. If we're trying to get him on, he won't even respond.
He won't even return our calls. He's not even close to
a friend.
Now he did.
Frenemy?
I wouldn't say that. He did a lunch with a legend once with Waddle and Sylvie.
Right.
He has been on our show in the past.
Yes.
And the Waddle and Sylvie program.
Now he's ghosting you guys.
But now he just ghosts us. So he's definitely not our friend. But he's so good. I love Steve. They do such a great job on that show.
Sorry to interrupt.
No,
I just thought that was funny.
See if you guys are surprised by this. Best hard hit percentage in baseball. These are qualified batters.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton is fourth.
Okay.
I told you Abreu's been hitting the ball harder.
Yeah.
He's seventh.
Okay.
Better than he was last year. He's seventh in baseball. Yurko got number four on the list. Giancarlo Stanton is number four. Who's number? Give me the other guys on here.
Well, Robert's got to be there, right?
No, Robert's not in that list.
Oh, wow.
He's not. He's not in the top seven. The number one player won't surprise you guys one bit. He's a teammate of Giancarlo Stanton's.
He is Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is number
one. Aaron Judge is number one.
I don't think you'd be surprised to find out that Yordan Alvarez is in the top five.
I'm definitely not surprised. Going,
tell us the team, Yordan Alvarez.
Let's work together. I think we can figure this one out.
Definitely not surprised.
Number three is Yordan Alvarez.
Okay. Astros?
The Astros is correct. Good job, Chris.
I knew we could get that.
Thank you, Astros.
Number five is Vladdy Jr. So I've now given you Vladdy one, Jr. three, four, and five.
Toronto.
Aaron Judge, Yordan Alvarez, Giancarlo Stanton, Vladdy Jr., number two, surprise man. I went, oh, wow. Merck, you got any guesses? He plays for the team you cheer for. Wilson Contreras is number two. Wilson Contreras is number two in baseball in hard hit percentage. And I think D-Rose point of flashing that graphic on the screen this morning, because I think everybody looked at it and went, whoa. But we shouldn't be surprised that he continues to be a solid offensive producer. And he does a lot of other things well, too. I wouldn't say ranted, because I'm not a Cubs fan. I have no skin in the game. It doesn't do me any good to rant about what they should or shouldn't do with Wilson Contreras.
Right, because you don't care.
I don't care.
Right.
As a baseball observer, what have I been saying to you going back to last spring? I'm like, man, how does Wilson Contreras not have a contract extension with the Cubs? And some people say, well, why pay a 30-year-old catcher when you're rebuilding? And maybe you're right. That's a fine counter to my point. Why wouldn't you pay Wilson Contreras?
Can I not compete with him for the next 3 years with Wilson Contreras? Or can I try to restock my minor league system with Wilson Contreras? Can you get two prospects for him?
Maybe.
At the trade deadline? Give me one of your best teams in the league. Say the Yankees lose a catcher. Toronto loses a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, the Dodgers lose two catchers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of a sudden, he becomes valuable, doesn't he?
Maybe you're right. That's a good call.
That's all you're waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for, Carm. Do I go with him and I'm still a loser, but he'll bring people into the seats and he'll make them smile?
I don't know if he's bringing people into the seats.
How patient can you be here as a Cub fan? I mean, you got no choice but to be patient now, right?
Well,
you see what the lineup looks like.
Although Merkin's texting us last night on the group chain. Guys, I'm telling you, the kids are coming together.
Oh, boy.
First of all, the kids.
There are no kids.
They're like 30. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess so. Who's the young kid? There is one young kid that you could be excited
about. The first baseman.
Yeah, what's the first baseman's name? Why am I blanking? Not Schwindy City. The other.
No.
Rivas.
Rivas.
Elias outfielder. Alfonso Rivas, right? He's like 26.
He plays a little first, too.
Is he playing outfield and first? Do you know how little Cubs baseball I've watched, and it's so gratifying to not have to watch them anymore?
Can you?
I spent so many years having to watch them because they were so friggin' good, and my team was bad, and we do a sports talk radio show, so I had to watch the Cubs.
Well, begrudgingly, I watch your White Sox, too.
I know, you have to. I didn't watch one inning of Cubs baseball over the weekend when they were taking 2 of 3 from Arizona. Not one. And it felt oh so good.
You look like
that. I can just go back and watch the White Sox.
You look like
and other baseball. Well, Rivas
is 5-2 in their last seven. This guy's starting to throw a party.
But Rivas is young, right, Merck? He's on the younger side anyway.
Yes, younger side. He's definitely not.
Schwindel and Wisdom are old. They're getting their prostates checked.
Let's take a look at Rivas.
Rivas played in the Cape Cod League that Tyler was broadcasting.
That's what I think I remember him telling me that, yeah. But to Contreras, I've read the numbers before. You don't need me to reiterate them, but I guess I will for you. 2016 and on, Yurko, amongst catchers. Wins above replacement, all of baseball. JT Realmuto, 1. Wilson Contreras, 2. Yasmani Grandal, 4th, by the way. OPS plus, Yurko. Mitch Garver, 1. Yasmani Grandal, 2. Posey, who's now retired, 3. Contreras, number 4, 114. Runs since 2016, catchers. JT Realmuto, number 1, 410. Yaz. There he is again. Yasmani Grandal, 2, 325. Wilson Contreras, 3, 310. Home runs, top 6. I mean, all of it. Like, he's done it all, but your counter to my argument is a fine one. I suppose that the perfectly logical explanation to the other side is, well, you're not competing for 3 or 4 years. Why not flip him, get something? Because by the time you are good again, he's 33 or 34, and he might have a declining asset in a catcher that's played a lot.
I got 25. So, 2025 is when the Cubs will be competing again.
So you could be right.
I hope in 2025. And that's if they make the right moves. If they don't make the right moves, Carm, there's no guarantee.
The common denominator here amongst these categories, when you look across to them, 2016 through where we are right now, Yerk, a month plus into the 2022 season, the names, well, there's a few. I mean, I shouldn't say there's one because, you're going to see Posey. You're going to see Realmuto. and you see Yaz and you see Contreras in all of them. Yaz's contributions come offensively, obviously. There really are no defensive contributions. I suppose he's a decent enough pitch framer, but there are no defensive contributions. That's why it's so important for him to hit like he's historically hit. Last year was weird. He got up to such a crazy bad start he couldn't hit, but he still had like a... Remember, he was hitting like a .150, but he had a .310 on base. It was wild, remember?
Right.
Then he came back after the injury, and he was lights out. August, September, I mean, he tore it up. He's been off to another very miserable start. Maybe he's a guy that just doesn't like the cold weather and it takes him a while. That could be it. Maybe we've never seen that materialize as much early in his career because he played in places like L.A. and in Milwaukee, and it didn't matter as much. They need him. Last night he hit a home run. He had two hits last night. They need that because it's the only thing that makes him valuable. York, he can't catch. Can't play the position, but he can hit. And if you see historically in all these numbers, the guy that's near the top of the list in OPS and OPS plus and on-base percentage and walks and run. First of all, he's like 200 walks better than any catcher. Runs and all that stuff, it's Yasmani Grandal. So we know he is historically a good offensive catcher. He can produce. The Sox need him to continue to do that. He's the DH in game one today, by the way.
I think what warms the cockles of your heart is watching Dallas Keuchel give you a halfway decent start.
He did. He had the only win against the Yankees.
Johnny Cueto.
Oh, that was
surprising the world.
Come on.
With his, you know, ability and what he was able to do yesterday.
Boy, if he can go out and give them five innings like that for the next 2 months, like, can you imagine?
There you go. I mean, that should be warm in the heart, you know, anticipating that your baseball team with the weather warming will be a little bit better. Yes. Yeah. Combination of that. Like, should have you feeling pretty good.
That was vintage Cueto, right?
Because we all know the Sox go 17-17-34. They have the ability to go 22-12.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden start putting a little bit of distance between them and Minnesota. You catch them, and then you bypass them. They have that ability. They can do that in 34 games. Okay, the Cubs can't do that. The White Sox have the ability to go ahead and do that. If I'm a White Sox fan, I'm feeling pretty good about myself, positioning myself for tickets, you know, throughout the season, mm-hmm. trying to find out, you know, the big giveaways, the bobbleheads, the come over and let your dog pee at Comiskey Park Day, whatever that is. Yeah. Flying Elvis night, halfway to St. Patty's Day night, you know, all the great nights that they have.
Carmen and Yurko night.
Yeah, exactly. We took listeners last year, remember?
Yeah, we did.
We were there for the Oakland game. We were there when poor Chris Bassett got hit in the face, remember?
In the face, yeah.
That was scary.
I go, and if we had to put a song to what just happened, I put Eyes Without a Face. And then Carm started yelling at me. It was too soon.
Well, I didn't yell, but I said, York, I think that might be a little too soon.
Insensitive. What do you mean, insensitive?
Chris Bassett, by the way, he's been great for the Mets to start the year. Good bounce back. That's got to be a hard thing, man, to come back from. You know?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can hit
the mental aspect of it. The mental aspect, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, that's a hard thing.
Physically, I think it was okay for him to come back with, but then he's sitting on the mound just imagining another missile coming at your melon.
And he's been great for the Mets so far. He's off to a very good start.
Were there any other good songs for that?
No.
Or did I nail it with Eyes Without a Face?
You might have nailed it.
Okay.
Poor Chris Bassett.
Just trying to figure it out.
We got to do another one of those nights. We better do one of those on the South Side. They won that night, so. 3-1-2-3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
Every time you and I go, they win.
I think so. If you want to hop in and join us real quick, we're going to get out of here at 12:30. Connor standing by with pregame. Speaking of that lineup, I'll give you the White Sox lineup for game one. And one veteran baseball observer and former front office member was taking issue to Tony La Russa's lineup last night. I'll read you that funny tweet coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Doubleheader today, so you're going to get a lot of White Sox baseball on the air where you're home for the Sox. Three out in the division behind the Twins, who won again last night. Sox are back at 500 at 17 up and 17 down. Dylan Cease is going to start the first game. He had a weird outing, man, last time out. I guess it's just baseball in this day and age. Gave up a few home runs, struck a bunch of guys out. He recorded 12 outs, 11 strikeouts. Also gave up a couple of bombs to Stanton. Yeah,
needs to get better. It'll be better this time.
Yeah, I think it'll be better. As Dylan Cecil go to the bump in game one, I'll give you the lineup here. Did you see Keith Law last night? He was ripping Tony La Russa's lineup, York.
Why?
Keith Law tweeted,
Vaughn last night?
Yes.
He was batting ninth. The two leadoff hitters, right? Wasn't that the philosophy? Because really, only ninth once?
Teams in the NL used to do that, like, right? Remember, they started moving the pitcher up to eighth, so you put a hitter in ninth and then hope that that guy got on base when your lineup flipped.
Wasn't that Tony's rationale, though? That he felt like that was two leadoff guys?
Yeah, maybe.
Like if he came up.
That if he's on, then as you flip your order, you know, you've got someone that's good at getting on base with your best hitters coming up. There could be something to that.
Yeah,
Keith Law didn't like it.
What did he say?
Vaughn has a 153 weighted runs created plus. He's a well above average hitter. Batting him ninth is a firing offense. He did go 1-for-3 last night. I wish Robert would just permanently get put into that two spot. I think 1 and 2, I mean, we might be splitting hairs here. You could say, come on, Carm, stop it. 1 through 3, however you line them up, doesn't really matter. But your three best hitters better be 1, 2, and 3. That's fair, I guess. Yeah. He had third last night.
Because you want them batting the
most. You want them batting the most. I'd like second, because, to me, that's you've got the best probability of that spot coming up the extra time. So I like that. He's been great, man. I mean, Robert continues to make contact, Yerk. Seems to be seeing it well. Got a hold of one in extras and put it out for the game-winning home run last night. He's got, a 14-game hitting streak, I think, now? Luis Robert? Here's your lineup today. Tim Anderson at short, leading off. A.J. Pollock. See, this is what I don't like. A.J. Pollock in left, hitting second. But okay.
But he's a lefty, right?
No, A.J. Pollock's
righty.
Yeah.
No.
Luis Robert hitting third and center. Jose Abreu cleans it up at first. Yasmani hits fifth and will DH. Gavin Sheets in right. Hitting sixth, Leury will play second and hit seventh. Reese McGuire will hit eighth and do the catching. Josh Harrison at the hot corner hitting ninth. So no Andrew Vaughn in the lineup. I'm assuming we will see him later tonight in game two. Do they face the lefty in game two? I wonder if that's why Tony's doing that. I'd put Vaughn in the lineup on most days at this point. I wouldn't be taking him out of the lineup. I'd like Luis Robert hitting third. I think he should be hitting ahead of A.J. Pollock, but I guess he's going with the old theory. It's going to give AJ some stuff to see and some stuff to hit.
All right, May 17th, second game. That's what you're asking me for.
Correct.
Boy, there are a slew of games up here.
Who's pitching the second game for KC?
Brady Singer against Davis Allen Martin.
He's a righty.
Davis Allen Martin.
Get ready, baby.
You got three names on that.
And I think Giolito had to go on the, I think they had to put him on the COVID list over the weekend, right? Because he was feeling symptoms. So I don't know what
He was back at the park today, and he said he expects to start tomorrow.
So he's going to start tomorrow.
Supposedly.
Okay. And
he expects to start tomorrow. It's not official yet.
Okay. So Davis Martin's going to start the second game tonight. And they'll face another righty. I hope Andrew Vaughn gets in the lineup. Andrew Vaughn should be in the lineup every day. He should. He's hitting righties. He's doing the things that you want him to do, that you expect him to do. Yeah, I mean, let him hit. Let him keep seeing pitches and hopefully continue to get better. I mean, he should be in the lineup each and every day. Conference final start in the NBA tonight, Yurk. You got a pick one way or another on these series. What about in the East? You got a feeling one way or another on Celtics
Milwaukee,
or Heat?
I got Boston beating Milwaukee. Yes. Oh, what happened to Travis up there? Is he doing a little crying?
He wasn't here yesterday. Travis Wacker.
He's on vacation. It's a wonderful time for him to be on vacation in California.
Oh, is that where he is?
Yeah, he's not strutting around the old seventh floor this week, is he?
He's seeing his brother. That's right.
We got Boston, Miami.
Yes. Got Boston, Miami. Miami's got home court.
I think Miami wins this.
Oof.
I got that feeling. Dallas against.
You've got Dallas against the Golden State Warriors.
I like Golden State here. Dallas just not good enough. I'm sorry. Man, nice job getting through Phoenix.
But they got the best player now.
I get you.
He's the best player left, right?
Well, I mean. Who's better? You pushing aside Curry and just saying he's not a?
I'm saying Luka Doncic is better. Yes. Am I crazy?
Luka's the best player left.
Thank you.
But I think Yurk does have Steph could hit.
What about Klay Thompson? I know he's coming back from injury.
Let me put it this way.
Who's the new guy there? Jordan, what's his name? Poole?
Jordan Poole.
Been great.
Poole? How about the new guy? Poole.
2 weeks from now, if we look back and say Stephen Curry led the Warriors to the finals, would you be surprised? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't be. Luka Doncic is the best player left, but I would not be surprised one bit. If Steph went out and averaged 29 in the series and shot 45% from three and they go back, I would not be surprised.
I thought that score was a joke.
It was a joke.
We're all watching the game. And then everybody wanted the under in. How many points were scored in the fourth quarter?
206.
It was 206, right?
Yeah.
206, everybody thought the under was a lock. I said, nobody's playing defense here, boys.
No, at that point.
And there are a lot of people on both sides of that one. I go, nobody's playing defense. And they came in. It came in by 6 points.
Yeah.
They didn't come in by a little.
Sun scored 40.
Yeah.
They had 27 points at the half.
Yeah. It was pitiful. What is it, 57-27
yes,
at half?
At the half. In your building, in a game seven, where you were the number one seed. It was astonishing, Yerk. You never see anything like it.
And all the great players that you have for Phoenix, it doesn't make a difference. It didn't make a difference.
I said yesterday, Yerk, that the two things I told Jesse this. I mean, there are two sports moments already this year.
Dinwiddie had 30-plus points, Carm.
Well, I don't know if he had 30, did he?
He had 30-plus points.
He had a good game.
Yeah.
Yerk, there are two things that, that are so confusing, confounding. I mean, I won't understand it. What happened to the Chiefs in the second half in the AFC title game? Specifically, what happened to Mahomes? I'll never get it. I really would love to know what the explanation was. And I'll never get what we saw Sunday from a number one seed in the NBA with home court
game
advantage
seven.
In a game seven.
Game seven.
To be down at one point. What was the most they were down? 42? They were down more than 40, right?
44 points 44? At one point there in the fourth quarter.
To be down by 44 at home. What happened? What major
malfunction?
Yeah, what was it? What are we going to find out in the coming
months?
Okay,
let me ask you a question. Was it what Dallas was doing? Because by the time I got to the game, it was halftime 57-27. I was just watching for the total at the end of the game. That's the only reason my eyes were on it, for the total.
Look, was it what Dallas was doing? I think there's one thing at play here, and Sylvie brought it up yesterday during crosstalk, Yerk, and we didn't have the numbers verbatim, but if you look at Luka, even going back to playing in a very competitive league in Europe before he came here, he was very young.
Sure.
If you look at Luka in playoff moments and in elimination games, his numbers are insanely stupid.
Staggering.
Yeah, he's got killer in him. He's cold-blooded killer. And Luka certainly has no problem going, okay, watch this now and what I'm going to do to you. So did he take some of it away from Phoenix? Yeah, but I got to believe there's more than that. That can't just be.
Well, you're talking about a team, Phoenix, for 2 years now. It looks like they were going to be the team that was going to win something.
Right.
In 2 years, it's failed. You blow it up now?
I don't know.
Do you blow it up or do you say, okay, maybe they'll play better next year and they'll get to there?
What do you do if you're them with Ayton?
Yeah.
You've got to sign him or do you run it back or do you go, well, we've had a couple of 2-0 leads in series here in the last years, and we couldn't
real
hold
question
on.
Before we get out. You'd rather be Phoenix or you'd rather be Chicago?
I think I'd still rather.
You're a two-time failure as the best team in the West.
Mm.
Two-time failure, best team in the West. If you couldn't get it done here now, what makes you think you're going to get it done next year?
But is Booker better than any player and younger than any player that the Bulls have?
The only guy I can say is Ayo. Simon Namu.
I love how you're going to crosstalk on Hinge. What did you say?
Ayo's
going to play like who? And Sylvie and I were like, wait, what?
Yeah, I said that's who he's got to play like.
It was awesome. Booker's 25, Yerk.
Yeah. And what's Zach?
Well, Devin Booker's better. And he's Zach's 27, I think.
I get you. Devin Booker's better. I get you. He's a better player. I got you.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, the thing with my guy Doncic there, too, on the court. On court issues with my guy.
You ask a good question.
Yeah, that's what you got to think of.
I mean, it seems like the easy answer would be Suns, but I don't know that it's that easy.
Let me do it the right way. Would you rather?
Yeah, would you rather? It's a good would you rather? We'll explore that more tomorrow. We're doing the switch. We got, Sylvie and I will explore that more tomorrow. That's a good topic for Sylvie because he's such a big Bulls fan. I like it. I do. Connor McKnight's coming up. He's got your pregame. We got a double dip. Len and DJ will keep you company, and so will Connor for the rest of the afternoon and evening with two White Sox games in KC. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. Hit them straight, boys, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. We'll be all over the place. It's another roommate switch day. It's spring trading. We'll have fun with it. Enjoy baseball. Have a great day.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.